turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. We'll be back where we were Sunday morning, looking at same passage of Scripture. 2 Kings, read verses 19, or chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 10 through 14. It came to pass, when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, that is, to Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Verse 10, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah of Judah, saying, let not the God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall be delivered, shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, and Haran, and Resaph, and the children of Eden, which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sivarvaim, of Hevna, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Again, what we read here, of course, occurred during the reign of Hezekiah, who reigned in the southern kingdom, or Judah. As we saw last Sunday, during his reign, a revival of sorts had taken place. Coming to our text, the northern kingdom, Israel, has fallen to the Assyrians. And now the Assyrians are on the verge of entering the southern kingdom. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has sent three of his chief men with a great host to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah sends out three men to meet these individuals. We see that in 2 Kings 18, verses 17 and 18. The representatives of Sennacherib deliver a message to Hezekiah, which basically is, Hezekiah, we're going to destroy you. You're not going to be able to get help from any other nation, and not even your God can save you. In 2 Kings 18 and verse 37, the three men that Hezekiah had sent out returned to Hezekiah, and we see that their clothes were rent, which of course is emblematic of great sorrow and grief. They're in sorrow and grief over the message that they've received. And they then told Hezekiah the words of the spokesman of Sennacherib. And our text opens here in 2 Kings 19, verse 1. When King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes. Again, a symbol of grief, sorrow. Also, and covered himself with sackcloth, also symbol of repentance, and went into the house of the Lord. So Hezekiah goes into the house of the Lord. And we're told also in verse 3 that he sent messengers to Isaiah to inform Isaiah of the situation. And there in verse 3 of 2 Kings 19, they were to tell Isaiah what was going on, and we see there this is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. And we see after Hezekiah received some encouragement and some assurance from Isaiah concerning the fact that the Lord would deliver the nation, would spare them from Sennacherib. After that happened, he received a letter from Sennacherib. And we read that there in verses 10 through 14. And you can pretty much mark it down. After you receive encouragement, refreshment, and assurance from the Lord, a letter from Sennacherib is coming. It's coming, more than likely. We see the letter would, as we saw Sunday, would present basically the resume of Satan. And the devil's very good at presenting his resume to us. And the reason he continues to do that is because it works most of the time. And this letter contained a message of hopelessness. Sennacherib is presenting a hopeless situation to Hezekiah. This letter, of course, would challenge the faith of Hezekiah. But it really did more than even challenge the faith. It was really an attack upon the faith of Hezekiah. And the devil and our flesh do that. They not merely challenge our faith, but they attack our faith. So Hezekiah receives this letter. And we read there in verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter. A little further down, and Hezekiah went, no doubt, with the letter in hand, up into the house of the Lord, and spread the letter before the Lord. And spread the letter before the Lord. Verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed. He prayed over that letter. The central focus of the message will be the letter and what Hezekiah did with the letter. The letter represents the adverse happenings of life. The letter represents the challenges of life. And the subject of the message is we all have a letter. We all have a letter. In fact, most of us have more than one. But we all have a letter. And to set the foundation of the letter, our first point will be that Hezekiah had a special place where he met with the Lord. Twice, verse 1, verse 14, we are told that Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord. Why did he go there? Well, this was his place. He had a habit of meeting with God in the house of the Lord. Every one of us needs a spot. We need a special place where we meet with God. Now, it may be said you can meet with God anywhere, and that's true. But we ought to have a special place, a special spot, because this is habit forming, where we go for one thing, to meet with the Lord. A place where we get away from everyone and everything else to get alone with God. Again, Occasionally people need to get away. We understand that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about not just getting away from everyone and everything else. We're talking about getting alone with God. And it is absolutely essential to the Christian life for it to be our habit to meet with God. It is absolutely essential to the Christian life that it be our habit to get alone with God. Now, if you keep a mark there in our text and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, you know where we're going. Matthew 6, verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now notice several things from that verse. It speaks of a habit of prayer. When thou prayest, not if, but when. Speaks of a habit of prayer. When thou prayest. It also speaks of a stated place. Enter into thy closet. When thou prayest, enter with purpose and intent to pray. Enter into thy closet. So we have a habit. We have a stated place for a stated purpose. When thou prayest, enter thy closet for the purpose of prayer. You enter into this closet. These words in Matthew 6, verse 6 speak of a silent and secluded place. It says, enter thy closet and shut thy door. You are to seclude yourself. Why? To pray. To meet with God. We live in a day of connectivity. Everyone feels the need, to some degree, to be connected, to be wired to whatever is going on in the world or in our own little world. This is not a blessing in many ways. This is a curse. This is a hindrance to worship. This is a hindrance to prayer. You see, if Hezekiah lived today, you would picture a man with his cell phone on the side of his belt going up into the house of the Lord. Because after all, I got to be connected. Something important might happen. What could be more important than meeting with God? Nothing. Nothing. So this is a great hindrance to worship, this need to be connected. Christ teaches that we need a place, that it needs to be a secret and secluded place, where it is our habit to get alone with God. He sets us an example. Notice in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. And if you rise up in the morning and you go out, you do so with a purpose and an intent, unless you're sleepwalking. And departed, that is, he got alone, into a solitary place and there prayed. That's why he got up. That's why he went to this place, to pray. Mark chapter 6, verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He departed with the intent to pray. He went to a mountain, a more secluded place where he could get away to pray. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Well, in verse 15 we see his fame spread about. Great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed. In verse 16, and he withdrew himself. Oh, how rude. He withdrew himself into the wilderness. Why? To pray. To pray. We need to withdraw ourselves to a special place to meet with God. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 22, verse 41. This is talking about Gethsemane. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, once again withdrawn from them, he kneeled down and prayed. There are many examples in the Bible of intent to pray. Many examples of people going to a special place with the intent to pray. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. As I fell down at the first, he prayed. Notice 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 19 and 20. So he departed thence and found Elisha. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. No, it didn't sound right. 1 Kings 17, verses 19 and 20. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just pray for this child right then and there? Because he had a place. At a special place where he met with God. So he took this child and he carried him up into the loft, laid him upon his bed, and he cried unto the Lord. He began to pray. But once again, at a special place. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. We'll not turn there, but we have the example of Daniel. When the decree was signed, it was against the law to pray. Daniel prayed as he did aforetime. We need to be a people of prayer. It's absolutely astounding, considering the times in which we live, considering the urgency of the times in which we live, that people do not pray, that people do not get alone with God. We need to be a people that meets with God. That is, individually, we need to be a people that meets with the Lord. You see, in meeting with the Lord and having a special place to meet with God, you'll find help there. You'll find strength there. You'll find enablement there. I don't find the help that I need in the world. I don't find the strength or the enablement that I need in the world. I find it in meeting with God. There is assurance in these special places. There's peace to be had. We receive instruction when we meet with God. God imparts wisdom. He gives relief and comfort. We need a place where we get away from everyone and everything else. A place where we do not bring our cell phone. You do not bring your beep. You don't bring anything. You just go and meet with the Lord. Well, what if someone needs to get a hold of me? Get over that. Again, there's that need of connectivity. Get over that. If you're ever going to worship God, you have to get over that. If you're ever going to have a special meeting place with God, you're going to have to get over that whole realm of thinking. So there needs to be a place where we go for the purpose of meeting with God. For this to be a habit, it requires a relationship with God. You can't do this unless you have a relationship with God. You are not going to meet with God every single day and talk to Him all by yourself if you just have an acquaintance. This requires a relationship with God. And may I say, when we get alone and meet with God, that sustains and further develops the relationship. Hezekiah, in our text, intentionally did something with the letter he received. We read in verse 14 that he received the letter. It was a letter that challenged the word of God to him. We see that in verse 10. It was a letter that challenged his faith. We see that in verse 11. It was a letter that sought to divert his attention. We see that in verses 12 and 13. It was a letter that added to what we read in verse 3. This is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. This is a letter that increased those things. So here is Hezekiah. He has, and again we'll illustrate, he has this letter. He has this letter in his hand. You've got to do something with the letter. We all have a letter. And we have to do something with it. And whatever it is that we do with this letter, we intentionally do. We do on purpose. So Hezekiah in verse 14 receives the letter. The mishandling or the doing the wrong thing with the letter, having the wrong reaction to this letter, gives this letter the potential to create a bad spirit. If Hezekiah does not do the right thing with this letter, that letter has the potential to create a bad spirit in Hezekiah. Doing the wrong thing with the letter gives the letter the potential to discourage our hearts, to fill our minds with discouragement, to do the wrong thing, to mishandle, to react incorrectly to the letter gives the letter the potential to bring defeat to the heart and mind of Hezekiah. Doing the wrong thing with the letter gives the letter the potential to drain us spiritually and to make us spiritually unfit and unable. So there's Hezekiah. And he has this letter. And we read in verse 14 that he went up into the house of the Lord. And again, just as we said Sunday, he spread it before the Lord. He had to let go of it in order to spread it before the Lord. Before the Lord. Very important words. He opened the letter in the presence of the Lord. Had to let go of it. And if we're going to lay it before God, we have to let go of it. So he, on purpose, he has this letter in his hand. And with purpose and intent, he went to that spot. He went to that special place where he meets with God and he spread it before the Lord. Verse 15 again says that he prayed. And notice what it says. Before the Lord. So there's the letter before the Lord. And there's Hezekiah before the Lord. As we said Sunday, Hezekiah didn't give God his opinion of the letter. He just spread it out. Lord, there it is. There it is. You can see it. God, I don't have to tell you what it says. There it is. There it is. What Hezekiah did serves as an example and a challenge to all of us. Because we all have letters. We all have letters. Things in our life that are burdens, that are needs, trials, pressures, battles, temptations, problems, irritations, obstacles, on and on we could go. These things wrongly reacted to and mishandled not only can bring spiritual disaster, they will. They will bring spiritual disaster to our lives. So we want to illustrate what we can do with the letter. We all have a letter. We all have a letter. There are several things that we can do with that letter. You can take the letter, lock yourself in a room, read it over and over and over, engrossing your mind in the letter. And you can sit there all day long, reading the letter. You read it, and then you think about, you put it down, you think about it, and you pick it up, you read it again, and you think about it some more, and you read it again. And you think about it some more. We all have letters and we can all do that with our letter. Or we can go to our spot, meet with God, and spread it before the Lord. Or you can take the letter and keep it in front of you, wherever you go. Everywhere you go in a day, you take that letter. You get up in the night, you set the letter on the nightstand, and you get up in the morning and you pick up the letter. Good way to start a day, isn't it? And you pick up the letter. You purposely pick it up. And you purposely read it again. And that's how the day starts. And then you don't just set it back down on the nightstand. You carry it with you all through the day. And you're reading it all through the day. It's in front of you all day long. You're not about to, nothing's going to make you move that letter. You're engrossed in the letter. Again, you read it, you think about it, you read it again, you think about it again, and on it goes. You never let go of the letter. You may have other things to do that day. Well, we'll work with one hand. I'm not letting go of this letter. This is mine. I'm not about to let go of it. Somebody tries to take out my hand. No way, you're not getting my letter. This is my letter. That's what we do many times. Keep it constantly before you. In so doing, you bring misery into everything you do. You may be going to do something that's actually fun and that you actually enjoy. Well, I'm taking the letter with me. And I'm going to keep looking at it too. And even the enjoyments of life are misery. Because you got this letter. You got this letter. And you carry this letter around. You cloud your vision. You're reading the letter everywhere you go. You can't see past the letter. That's the only thing you see. You can't see past the letter. Other people have needs, but you can't see it. I can't see past this letter. This is what many people do with their letters. You become oblivious to everything that is around you because your nose is in the letter. And you're oblivious. You're oblivious to spiritual opportunities. I say you, I mean we, all of us. We become oblivious to spiritual opportunities. We become oblivious to the blessings of God because we can't see past the letter. We won't see past the letter. This is my letter. In keeping the letter constantly before us, do we not begin to cloud our thought process? We saturate our mind with the letter. We actually become drunk with the letter. And because this is all we see is the letter, we can't make right judgments. We can't think right because we can't see past the letter. We all have them. We all have these letters. And if you carry around this letter with you all day long, and you do this day after day. Some people have been carrying the same letter for most of their life. They've been carrying that letter. But they're not letting go of it. I've been carrying this letter for 40 years. I'm not about to let go of it now. And what happens? Your life becomes defined by the letter. Your life is now defined by the letter. In keeping the letter constantly before you, no matter what happens in a day, everything eventually comes back to the letter. And everything eventually is about the letter. In other words, you are a slave. We become a slave to the letter. It dominates, it controls our life. We carry it around. These people that carry these letters around, and I'm not talking about a church letter at this point, they come into the house of God, and here they come. They've got their letter. They sit down. They've got their letter. They open a hymn book. They make sure they put their letter over the hymn book. The preacher begins to preach. They open their Bible. But they make sure, I'm looking at the letter. Don't matter what you say, preacher, I'm looking at the letter. And everything is affected. They can't worship God because they can't see past the letter. They can't learn anything because they can't see past the letter. They can't enjoy their brothers and sisters in Christ because they can't see past the letter. This is what people do. They carry this letter. They cannot get any spiritual benefit from being in church services because they can't see past the letter. And eventually, they'll have the audacity to accuse the church of being unloving when they walk past you every single service, not say a word, not acknowledge you, because they've got this letter. And that's where their attention is. And the church is dead because I don't get anything out of the services. And the reason they don't get anything out of the services is because they sit there with their letter. They refuse to let go of the letter. If that is our reaction, if that is how we handle the letter, and we're all going to get a letter from Sennacherib. They come all the time. 24/7. The letters come. And if we mishandle the letter by carrying it around with us all day long, it'll ruin you spiritually. You give that letter an awful lot of power. So we could do that. We could carry the letter all day long, or we can go up to our special spot, spread it before the Lord, and leave it there. And whichever one we do on purpose. You don't accidentally get up in the morning and pick up your letter and read it. You don't accidentally get up and carry it with you everywhere you go. That's not an accident. That is planned defeat. That is planned failure. It's like getting up and you might as well say, God, I plan on failing you today because I've got this letter and I'm not letting go of it. We can carry it around or we can spread it before the Lord. Another thing we can do, perhaps we don't go to the degree of having our face in the letter all day long. So we get up in the morning, there's the letter. We pick it up, fold it, put it in our pocket, put it in our purse, whatever. But you're still being controlled by the letter. And out you go. Letter's in my pocket. I'm not looking at it all the time, but I got it right here. Got it right here. You know what happens? People that do that, the flesh and the devil are constantly reminding us, hey, Dan, don't forget the letter. Hey, Dan, remember the letter. No matter what's going on, God can be pouring His blessings down. Hey, Dan, don't forget the letter. It's in your pocket. It's in your pocket. And out it comes. and we pull it out. And we begin to think upon the letter. See, when we carry the letter around with us, there's always that voice. It's not only a letter from Sennacherib. Sennacherib keeps on whispering in our ear, "Don't forget the letter. Don't forget the letter." You're sitting in church service and you begin, people are getting blessed, and you even begin to feel a little prick in your heart, and here comes the voice. "Hey, don't forget the letter. Oh, I'm glad you reminded me." And we start reading it again. And we quench the Holy Spirit. And then those people have the audacity to say, "The Spirit never moves in our church." You quenched them by bringing the letter into the building. So we can pick up the letter, we can put it in our pocket, or we can spread it before the Lord. Which is the better way of living? Which is the better habit? Which is more beneficial to us spiritually? Carrying the letter around? Looking at the letter all day long? Or spreading it out before the Lord? When we respond to the letter or handle the letter in any of these ways we've mentioned, other than spreading it out before the Lord, the letter has a crippling effect. The letter has a way of becoming a weight. You ever notice how just a one-page letter can become a weight? And pretty soon what you're doing, "I got my letter." And it's getting heavier and heavier and heavier every day. It comes time to raise your hands in prayer. Guess what? You can't. "I got this letter. Been carrying around. It's been adding up for years. And I can't pray. I can't worship. I can't run the race. Because I'm carrying a whole file cabinet of letters." Try running a race, dragging a file cabinet behind you. That's what we do. We get one letter on Monday, we get another on Tuesday, we add it to the pile. And then another and another. Pretty soon, we got reams of paper. Reams of letters. And then we wonder, "Why am I so tired?" Because you're carrying around a file cabinet filled with letters, when you could have just spread them before God. I'm here to tell you, if you spread them before God, you'll never end up carrying reams of letters. And this is what we do. And that's why when we run the race, we're to be free of the weights. And these letters are weights. And the devil keeps sending us the letters because he knows our tendency is not to spread them before God. In fact, you can take the letter you receive and spread it before God. Sennacherib is going to send another letter. He'll keep sending them until you don't spread it before God. And then he'll just start adding to it. And you become controlled by the letter. Oh, it needs to be our habit to live in 2 Kings 19, 14 and 15. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread the letter before God. Notice what it says. It says, "and spread it." Spread it. Whatever the letter is, spread it before the Lord. Whatever it is that challenges your faith, attacks your faith, whenever Satan presents his resume, spread it before the Lord. May I say, you've got to get before the Lord before you can spread it before the Lord. And that's why it's important to have that place. That's why it's important to meet with God. This is why many times people say, well, I gave it to God. No, you didn't. You didn't even get in His presence. You got to get in His presence before you can get it to Him. You've got to get in His presence before you can spread it before Him. So that's the first thing, is to get into the presence of God. And that's what this special place is all about. That's why we go there. That's why we get away from everything and everyone. To get into the presence of the Lord. Notice in closing, Zechariah, book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 21. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray. Now notice, it doesn't say just say, let us go speedily to pray. But let us go speedily to pray before the Lord. There it is again. Before the Lord. You can't really pray until you get into His presence. You've got to get into His presence before you can really pray. And this ought to be our response. When we get a letter, our response ought to be, let us go speedily before the Lord. Let us not delay. I've got this letter. I've got to get to God. I've got to get to God. I've got to spread it before God. That needs to be our response. But many times our response is we get on the phone and we call someone else. Oh, I got this letter. And then we talk to someone else. And then someone else. Before we know it, we've got 18 opinions on our letter. 18 different opinions from people that more than likely don't know a thing about spirituality. When we could have just speedily take it before God. As soon as we get the letter, without delay, our thought ought to be, I gotta get with God. Our first thought should not be, I've got to call mom, I've got to call dad, I've got to call grandma, grandpa, I've got to call brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I've got to call the pastor. That should not be our first response. Our first response ought to be, I've got to get along with God. I've got to tell God about this. Usually what happens, we have a list 30 people long before we even think about getting along with God. And then God help you if you're the one that tells someone, well, brother, sister, what you need to do with that letter is you need to pray. They don't want to hear that. That's not what they want to hear. Oh, you don't understand. I knew I couldn't talk to you. You don't understand a thing. You try spreading the letter before the Lord and see how it works. And you do that every day. It works. It works. How's it worked for you carrying it around all your life? It hasn't worked. Oh, you left it there before the Lord, but don't forget it. And you need to go and leave it again. That's how we need to live. I'm telling you, it works. That is the way to live life. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.